You know, Ruth, can you get us Matthew 6 up there? Let's stand up. I didn't read this. We didn't read this last week. Can you get us Matthew 6 up there? And we're gonna keep on reading this, church. Amen. Get this in our spirit. It's coming. Ruth, we're so grateful. Here we go, church. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I shared this a few weeks ago, a month ago maybe, about that last phrase, deliver us from evil. And I don't know if y'all remember what I shared just briefly, but I think this is going to fit right into my sermon today. I think we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to shift how we're thinking about the culture and what's going on around us. How many people think, just be honest right here, how many people think that the culture is the worst it's ever been? Can I tell you that's not true? It's not true. We think it's very easy to look around and think that we're particularly awful right now. Is that right? It's easy to look around and be like, what on earth is going on here? But you know, the Bible says 2,000 years ago was actually the height of the wickedness of our culture, because it says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, his only begotten son, that's whosoever believes in him would be saved. Is that true? So as I was saying, it was actually 2,000 years ago was the height of evil. Amen? And that's when God said, all right, now it's time to get down there and clean this mess up. Right? So I think we need to be careful. When we see deliver us from evil, it's not, my beloved, we can't think that evil's everywhere and we're just like, oh, God, help me make it. No. No. Everybody say no. No. Man. I think what he's saying is deliver us from from evil's influence, right? Deliver us from the fear of evil. Deliver us from the intimidation of evil. Does that make sense? There's a scripture I was reading the other day, and it says that you will do this without fearing any without being afraid of any fear. But it was interesting, without being afraid of any fear. I thought, interesting wording there. But the word for fear there, the Greek word, is a different word. I've never seen it before, but it means intimidation. You will not be afraid of any intimidation. Isn't that funny? Yeah? So I think, my beloved, God is looking for an army to rise up. Armies that are scared don't typically get too far. Is that true? Yeah? The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Here we go. God meant it. Part two. And I'm just going to read where we finished up on Sunday. And we're going somewhere with this. So I'm going to move maybe a little bit quickly, but I know this is going to be really good. And I hope you all will catch it by the power of the Lord. Amen. As for you, Genesis 50, verse 20. As for you, let's read this together, church. You meant evil against me, but God what, church? Meant it for good to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Therefore, do not be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers specifically. Amen. So what we need to wrap our heads around, my beloved, and what I was saying last week, and I'll probably say it again sometime this morning before I'm done preaching, but I was talking with someone last night about this same thing. We think in our humanity, we think that the devil is running around doing all kinds of things, and God is like chasing him around, just putting fires out. Amen. We think that the devil is the one who's sneaky, and he's going all around, and even when God is going to do something good, somehow the devil is getting inside of it and messing it up. Come on, I see some smirks because you're like, oh, busted. That's exactly how I think. How about this phrase? Oh, we'll just wait for the other shoe to fall, Pastor. You know what? That is a devil-conscious mindset. I'm just waiting for something to go bad. Well, how about, what if we just started waiting for something to go good? Well, how about, what if you got up tomorrow morning and expected to have a good day? What if we woke up tomorrow morning and said, even if this is not a good day, it's a good day to make it a good day? Can I get an amen? Right? And I want you to see this, church. Not only is the devil not sneaking around and doing things that God is not aware of, but actually, it's God is the one who's doing things that the devil has got no idea what God's doing. You want to know? I'll prove that in the Bible. The Bible says that if they knew what was going to happen, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus breathed his last, the devil thought, I won. But when the devil thinks he's winning, he's actually losing. Amen. So the next time you feel like you're losing, you're actually winning. How's that for a shift in your mindset? How many people think you need help to think like that? Yeah, for sure, right? Your human brain ain't gonna think that way. That's why we gotta be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Is that true? So, think about this, church. If you know Jesus, right? There's the catch. You gotta know Jesus. If you know Jesus, and I'm gonna say it like this, to the very best of your ability at this point in your life, you're saying, okay, God, I'm in. I'm yours. You can do whatever you want with me. Send me wherever you want to send me, position me wherever you want me to go. If that's your heart posture, right? None of us are perfect. We all got issues. We're all working stuff out. But if that's your heart posture, then God himself will work every single thing to your good for his purpose in your life. Everything. There's not one thing that the devil can do to you that God is like, oh no, I don't know how to fix that. Amen. Not only, just so make sure we're all catching this, not only does God not know how to fix it, but it's very possible that God's actually the one who's in it, even though it looks like it's not God. Yeah? That's what Joseph has caught at the end of his life, towards the end of his life here. Right, the end of the story here. Right, he's understood. That's what he realizes. He understands. We might hit it this Sunday. We'll definitely get it next Sunday. He realizes that nothing that happened over this it's 25 or so years if you study it all out. Nothing happened over this 25 years that was. He says none of this was the devil. It was all God. Wow, amen. How many people like that? Genesis, let's go to back to 41. And as Ruth is getting that there, if you're turning in your Bibles or getting it on your phones there, I just want to just recap. We're going to pick up the story of Joseph as he's getting out of prison. Okay, that's what's going on in chapter 41. The Pharaoh had two dreams, one of fat and skinny cows, and the second dream of fat and skinny ears of grain. Both dreams were seven of each, so seven fat cows, seven skinny cows, seven fat ears of grain, seven skinny ears of grain. And in the dreams, the skinny cows ate up the fat cows, and the skinny ears of grain ate up the fat ears of grain. How many of y'all doing your homework? Don't lie, we're in church. Amen. Four of you. Praise God, that's more than I thought it was going to be. Amen. Here we go. So if we understand, he interprets this dream, and he says, because he says he goes to Pharaoh gets all the magicians, all those people, and nobody can interpret the dreams. So then that's when the cupbearer's like, oh yeah, I remember this guy Joseph, who he forgot for two whole years. And so then he says, hey, there's this Hebrew kid in there, and he interprets dreams, and he interprets the dream, and he says, look, what God is showing you is that you're going to have 7 years of fatness and plenty, followed by 7 years of famine, and these 7 years of famine are going to be so bad, everybody's going to forget the 7 years of fatness, right? And so the Pharaoh says to him, well, what am I going to do? Joseph says, well, appoint somebody who's got the wisdom to handle this stuff. And Pharaoh's like, well, obviously there's only one person that has enough wisdom, and it's you, because nobody else can tell me what this dream meant, right? So he pulls him out of prison, puts him in his position as the second in command over all the land of Egypt. There's where we're picking the story up. Everybody good? All right. Verse 41. A little bit of reading here. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then, hang on, let me just pause right here. the Holy Spirit just told me to tell you something. All right. So, hang on. This is all bonus. Jeremiah 29, 11. We all know that one. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of goodness, not evil, give you, right? Back up. Here's your homework for tonight. Back up and read it from verse 1. Back up into the end of verse chapter 28 just a little bit. And what you see there is that God is sending the people into Babylon because of their sin. And verse 11 there, it's not a personal, God's not talking to Doreen or to me. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And he goes, I know the plans I have for you. You're going to spend 70 years in Babylon, but that's not messing up my plans. I know the plans I have for you, but you got to spend 70 years in Babylon over here. But here's my point. What is Joseph made command, takes command over what? All of what church? I would say Egypt. Egypt, right? Is Egypt spiritually, is Egypt a good place or not a good place? It's not a good place. Is Babylon a good place or not a good place? Babylon's not a good place. Nobody wants to be in Babylon. But do you know what God says to his people when they're going to go to Babylon? He goes, when you're going to Babylon, get married, have kids, have grandkids, build houses, build businesses, plant vineyards, be a blessing while you're in Babylon. Because if it goes well with Babylon, it will go well with you. Can I get an amen? So, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because look at Joseph. Even though he's not where he wants to be, God is blessing him in a place that he'd rather not be in, and he's taking the blessings of God and using them, even though he's not where he wants to be. Right? We need to understand, my beloved, that sometimes the key or a key to getting where we want to go is to do what we're supposed to do when we're not where we want to be. Yeah? Amen. So he's over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. You guys are going to like next Sunday. It's going to be so good. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before Joseph, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him Asenath, I don't know how to pronounce that lady's name, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife, and Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So pause right here, church. How old was he when he had the dream? 17. So how many people, asked this last week, how many people have ever had a dream from God? Buckle up. Can I get an amen? Because if the dream is actually from God, you're probably going to go through some rough times between when you get that dream and when it starts to come. He didn't even get the dream yet. He's 13 years. He's not even got the dream. Is that true? Ever see that? He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Verse 50, here we go. Now, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph from Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. She bore to him. Joseph named the firstborn, everybody say Manasseh. For Joseph said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. He named the second, everybody say it, Ephraim. I'm probably butchering that, saying it like an American. It's like Ephraim or something probably is better. Anyway, but Joseph, because Joseph said, God has made me, everybody say fruitful, in the land of my affliction. Everybody say in. Not out of the land, in the land of my affliction. So Manasseh, the name means making to forget. And there are a few things that think we need to see here. The word forget here, my beloved, I think we have a tough time understanding with a kingdom lens. How many people have ever heard the phrase forgive and forget? How many people think that's garbage? Oh, yeah. How many people, let's all raise our hands because I know it's everybody. How many people have ever had somebody do something wrong to you? Yeah, come on. How many people had five things? How about 10? How about 20? How about 50? Y'all sinners, you're supposed to forgive everybody. Seven times 70. Come on, church. Right? But come on, right? How many of you have forgiven people that have wronged you? Right? Do you still remember those things that they've done? Yeah, for sure. So I think we need to understand something. Does Joseph, when Joseph names his first son Manasseh, is he saying, I've forgotten this? In a sense of like, my mom texted me the other day and said, hey, we're coming to your house on Saturday because the girls have their show. And I was like, what show? I was like, I know what you're talking about. You know, she's like, the recital. I was like, yep, no, got nothing, you know. And it took me a minute because I forgot about it, right? It literally had escaped my brain, right? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that recital. I knew Chuck. I was just playing, right? But, right, it's not like that church, right? I won't call any names out, but there's somebody in this church that made their wedding date on the same day as their wife's birthday. I was like, bro, you are a genius. You're a genius, man, all right? And if you forget, you're double in trouble now because it's the same day. Amen. I was like, I wish I'd have thought of that, except our birthdays are in the winter. It's no good. Amen, right? But you see what I'm saying? It's not forgetting like it exits his mind. When Joseph says that God has made me forget, I want to say to you that I think he's really talking about Joseph says, I've let go of the pain of this situation. And I think it's interesting that he says in the scripture there that what? God has made me forget all my trouble in all my father's house. Now that's a very common phrase, but let me just say this to you. If you go back, if you're doing your homework, when he tells his father the second dream, which is the stars all bow down and the sun and the moon bow down, which is father and mother, right? And he tells his parents, hey, y'all going to bow down to me. And Jacob says to Joseph, he says, do you think we're going to bow down to you? Like in the Jewish culture, that's a no-no, especially in Old Testament. That is like, you ain't in good shape. So now if you read the Bible, church, the very next thing that happens is that Jacob sends Joseph out to find his brothers. And he gets betrayed. He spends, we don't know exactly how much time, but it's 13 years between the dream and right now. And he's had to been in prison 7, 8 years, 9 years, easy, no problem. Don't tell me that if the last conversation that he has with his dad is an argument and his dad is telling him, oh, you, right? Do you see this? And then the very next thing that happens is dad sends him out to find his brothers and his brothers betray him. I think Joseph's sitting in prison thinking, I wonder if dad was in on it. I wonder if dad told them. Right? Now, we don't know in Scripture whether his dad told him or not. I don't think his dad did tell him. What I'm saying to you is be Joseph right there. Be Joseph. Be in prison. You did nothing wrong. Be in prison and think about the mind games. Come on, anybody ever battle any mind games? Come on, church, right? You start thinking, well, why is Keith looking at me like that? I don't know. And driving home all Sunday, Keith was giving me stink eye all preaching. I don't know what's wrong, Keith. He's offended. Oh, no, what's wrong? Right? Bro, that's it. You moved, man. I wasn't going to pick on you. You moved. That's what happened. Right? Church, I'm telling you what. If you want Bible stories to help you, put yourself in the middle of the story. And I'm telling you what. There are preachers that would tell you not to do that. You need to stop listening to those preachers because that Bible ain't going to help you at all if you don't put yourself in the stories of David. And you'll put yourself in the stories of, you know, be Peter in the New Testament, man. Read through Paul's writings. Be Paul. Right? Put yourself in there and say, man, how would I feel if I was dealing with this stuff? Can I get an amen? Right? So I think it's interesting. I hope you're tracking with me. I tell people this all the time when I'm trying to help them work through issues and trauma or whatever. I said, look, I remember everything anybody ever did to me. I could write it down pages and pages and pages of stuff. I remember all the stupid stuff I did too, Keith, Kevin. Can I get an amen, church? Right? I mean, come on. I watched this preacher years ago, and this is what he said, and I thought it was so powerful. And he says the gospel, the power of the gospel is not that God wipes the hard drive, or I don't remember anything that I did or anything that was done to me. The power of the gospel is I remember exactly what you did to me, and it no longer controls me. You can talk all to say anything you want to say to me. Don't bother me. It's showing what's wrong with you, not what's wrong with me. Can I get an amen? Next time somebody treats you some kind of way, just think about, wow, this, if you got the Spirit of God in you, you're just going to start realizing, wow, this person must be very broken to talk to me like that. Right? Instead of getting angry, oh, don't talk to me like that. It's like, man, I'm going to pray for you. And not like, well, I'm going to pray for you. Not like that, church. I mean, for real, like, oh my gosh, what happened to you? I said, church, for years now, people talk to me some kind of way, that's the first thought of my mind now. Wow, I wonder what happened to that person that's how they're going to talk to me. Somebody did something to that person and they are trapped. Yeah? So this first son, I think it's more about forgiveness than forgetness. And yes, I just made that word up. I actually made it up yesterday because I wrote this yesterday. So I mean, it's been a whole day. I just made up a word. Second son. Well, let me say this really quick. So many believers. I'm just gonna look over here for a minute. So many believers are stuck in unforgiveness. Is that true? Anybody ever battle forgiving somebody for something? Oh yeah, come on, right? And you know what I used to do? I'd just be like, you know what? If I got to forgive this person 1,000 times a day, every single time that thought pops into my head and I start getting angry about it, I'm saying, no, no, no. Lord, I let this go. I let it go. If I can say it 1,000,000 times a day, I'm going to keep on saying it until it doesn't hurt anymore. Yeah? Right? And my beloved, I think there are some scary passages in the New Testament about what can happen to us if we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. There's some scary stuff. Amen. Do you realize that so many people in hospitals today are sick? There ain't really nothing wrong with them. It is bitterness in their heart that is poisoning their body, physically poisoning their body. Yeah. Lots of people that are on have substance abuse problems and all those kinds of things. Many of those people, it is the root of that is unforgiveness. And they just try to numb it by taking drinking or pills or whatever they take. Is that true? Yeah. So number two, son, Ephraim, the name means fruitfulness. And please notice with me, church, where Joseph was made fruitful. Yes, Egypt, but where? In his land of affliction. All right, I'm going to tell you something that's true right now. I'm going to ask a question. Everybody raise your hand. Just walk with me here, all right? Even if you don't want to raise it, just raise it anyway. Just be obedient. Amen. How many people want to fulfill your call from the Lord while you're on the earth? You want to know one of the number one things that God's going to use to shape you and mold you to get you where he wants you to go? Affliction. Everybody say affliction. Doesn't that feel good? Let's say it again with a smile on your face. Affliction. Yes, come on. I was watching this thing the other day, and it's talking about men in our culture, right? I talked a couple Sundays ago about the attack on men on Mother's Day a little bit. But I think about this. This preacher was saying this. He says the way that a man becomes a man, like we think, oh, that's a very manly man. I think some of you think that way about me. I think you look at me, you say, wow, that's a man's man right there. Amen, right? But the way that a man becomes a man, my beloved, is not through comfort. It's through affliction. You do not become strong when you are in comfort. You become strong through affliction. Says Kevin. That's what I'm talking about. Amen, right? Oh, Lord, make me strong. Well, you better, again, buckle up. Gonna get it. Right, church? If you just physically want to get in shape, you need to start watching your diet. You need to start watching what's going in. Yeah? And you need to go to the gym and work out a little bit. Right? Same thing spiritually. If you want to get in shape spiritually, you need to watch what's coming in through here. You need to watch what's going on up in here, right? And you need to work out a little bit. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to worship. You need to give. You need to be obedient, right? That is how we get stronger in the Lord. And the devil does not want anybody to get strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So he's going to do everything he can do to try to keep us from getting stronger. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, was he delivered from Egypt when he was fruitful? Everybody say no. Was he back home? No. Had he seen the dream, the dreams come to pass? No. Had he seen the Lord make all the wrongs done to him right? No. Huh, none of that. Isn't that funny? Joseph found himself in a place where it seemed that nothing that God had shown him was going to happen. Can I suggest to you, even when he says forgetfulness, right, the Lord's made me forget, can I suggest to you that he's even forgotten the dream? Not in the sense of he doesn't remember it, but he's saying, there is no way. I am so far from this thing coming to pass. There's no way. He has not seen his brothers or heard from his family church for 13 years, and there's no indication that he's going to hear from them anytime soon. Anybody ever been praying for something, and it seems like it's getting further and further away from what you feel like God told you? Yeah, come on. You're probably on the right track. Because God is letting our flesh die so that we will not take credit. How many, just be real, church, come on. I'm raising my hand right now. I'm asking lots of questions this morning. I'm trying to get something in your spirit. Amen. Here we go. How many of you have ever prayed about something and it came to pass and you said something like this? Whew, glad that worked out. Whew, that was lucky. Right? Wow, what a strange happenstance. We don't say that word anymore, do we? I don't know. That just came to my mind. Happenstance. Amen, right? What do we, you know, oh, what a coincidence. And God's up there going like, you know, he's up there going, hey, you asked me to do that and I did it. How about a little credit? We had a friend who used to come here. She used to tell me all the time. She goes, when I'm gonna go to the grocery store, I ask the Lord for a parking spot up front. And she goes, every time there's one, I pull and I say, thank you, Jesus, that there's a parking spot up front. I don't park up front because that's where everybody hits your doors, man. I park way in the back. Amen. Right? But you see what I'm saying? Think about this, my beloved. What if every time something good happened to you, you said, Lord, thank you so much for that? I'm talking simple stuff, everybody. Good parking spots, you know? Last night, we went out to dinner after our kids' recital, and I ordered some fries, and the lady forgot to bring them out. And so we were pretty much done with dinner, and I said, you know, you never brought my fries out. And she goes, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. So she brings my fries out, and she goes, we're going to take it off the bill. I said, thank you very much. I got free French fries. I got fat and didn't cost me nothing. Amen. I got fat for free over there. Hey, a little bit of fries are okay. Look at this, church. Joseph was saying that he was fruitful. And I'd say, if we apply it to right to what why Joseph specifically said this, I'd say that he's thinking about his position now. He's out of prison. He's got a wife. He's got two sons, right? But remember, nowhere close to the dream. Yeah? You see that? So let's take a moment to define what it means to be fruitful. How many people, let's be real here, how many people right here do you feel like you are fruitful as a Christian? Not very many hands. I knew this was going to happen. Why? Now, here's what we got to think. Why do we think that? And I'm going to tell you why we think that. We think that because we have defined being fruitful very poorly in the church. Very poorly. What we think is fruitful people, I'm going to say, is typically really what we should call them is anointed people or gifted people or whatever. Because in church, what we've done is we've developed this mindset like the guy up there with a microphone on Sunday is more important, and what he's doing or she's doing is more important than what everybody does once church is over and we go out there, right? We think, oh my gosh, that person can sing, oh, like an angel, oh my gosh, right? Because we're so entertainment-driven in our culture, we think somebody who's entertaining us or making us feel good or whatever it is, we think, oh my gosh, what a fruitful person. We see churches that got lots of people sitting with their butts in the seats on Sunday. Oh my gosh, that's what we say. What a fruitful ministry. Is that not true? You know that that's not in the Bible anywhere. That is not biblical at all. Is that true? Fruit, my beloved, fruit is to be a fruitful Christian means that you are displaying the likeness and the character of Christ more and more and more, particularly if you're in a land of, guess what? Affliction, right? Met some new friends a couple weeks ago. They came here. We were talking about something, and I said, look, you want to know what's inside something? What do you got to do, everybody? You just give it a squeeze, right? Most people are nice when things are going the way they want them to go. Is that true? Most people. Some people are crazy all the time. Most folks are nice when things are going the way they want them to go. But find somebody who's got life hitting them sideways. Find somebody whose life is not going the way they want it to go and see if they're still a nice person to be around. Right? I like those kinds of folks. I like folks that are, you know, go to the doctor. We had a lady here a couple years back. She went to the doctor, diagnosed stage 4 terminal cancer. She came back into church that Sunday. She was crying a little bit, but she goes, it's all good. God's still, and we, y'all remember her. We prayed for her. God healed her. Stage 4, you're going to die. Terminal cancer. All the specialists told her that. But you know what? She's like, it's fine. God's in control, right? Was she laughing and jumping around like excited? Probably not. I don't know. Probably crying at home. That's fine. I'm good with that. But in her spirit, she says, you know what? God is still God. I don't care what man says about me. I don't care what man says about this situation. God is in control of my life. Yeah? See, church, the scriptures tell us this clearly, right? The gifts in the church, the body of Christ, will vary according to God's will and purpose. Is that true? Yeah, we all got different gifts, but the fruit should be the same. Hey, wow, I got quiet. Oh yeah, come on. There, look at God's kingdom. There's not like an apple orchard over here where all the peace trees grow. And then love trees are over here. The joy trees are over here. The peace trees are way over here somewhere. The faithfulness trees are over here. No. Every single believer is supposed to be displaying the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, a gift is something that God chooses to give to someone in order for that person to fulfill a certain role or purpose for God in his kingdom. Yeah? Do we need to steward a gift that God has given us? Everybody say yes. Fruit, my beloved, though, is something that a believer is called to bear. Everybody say bear. Not produce. Not produce. Everybody say not produce. Look at this. Here's what I'm going to look over here. Pastor, I'm a pretty patient person, but sometimes. No, that's your patience. Pastor, I'm a pretty loving person, but boy, that one, Kevin, oh. That's your love. That's not the love of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks back, I did a little live video, and this is what the Lord spoke to me this. He said, son, the first person in your life that should be enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit is you. It's you. He said, it's not your fruit. It's not your fruit. It's not your patience. It's not your peace. It's not your joy. It's not your gentleness. It's not your faithfulness. It's not your self-control. It's the self-control of the Holy Spirit. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's the love and the peace and the patience and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. He says, what you need to understand, if you do not experience and enjoy the fruit of how I feel about you, the Father feels about me. The Father looks at me with love, with joy, with peace. He looks at me with patience, with kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. God is faithful. Can I get an amen, church, right? He says, if you don't realize that I'm looking at you like that and I feel that way about you, then you're going to struggle to feel that way about other people. And so what we find somebody that rubs us the wrong way and we're like, okay, I'm going to be nice. Rawr! We're trying to, like, right? Just go to an apple orchard and see if there's one apple tree that's like, boop. Man, that was hard work. No. No. Everybody say no. The things of the Spirit, my beloved, should not be as hard as we've made them to be. See, here's the deal. Apple trees don't produce oranges. Your flesh cannot produce the things of the Spirit. Cannot do it. It's not possible. Stop wasting your time. Yeah? You can't do it. I think I hurt myself flexing right there. Pulled a pec muscle or something. I don't know. See, church, we're called to be fruit bearers, not fruit producers. That's good news for somebody. It's not your job to work up the fruit of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't need help. He don't need help. He does not need help. He does not need my help to help him work something out in my life. He needs me to die. That's what I need to do. Yeah? I need to die so that he can resurrect me and start producing his fruit in my life. Is this making sense? Everybody okay with this? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is, let's read it together, church. Come on, nice and loud. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen. Yeah. How'd that feel? So what I want to encourage you to do is back up a few verses when you get home today or tomorrow morning, whatever. Back up a few verses and read all the deeds of the flesh. That's what he's talking about, right? Jealousy, envy, all that stuff. Get rid of it. Amen? So let's get back to our story of Joseph here. So Manasseh means what, church? To what? Forget, right? Ephraim means? Fruitful, right? Manasseh means what? Do you forget? Ephraim means? Fruitful, okay? So what does forget mean, really, in a biblical sense? Is it forget or what? Forgive, right? So really, that's what it's talking about, right? I'm letting go. I remember what you did, but I'm not mad about it, right? I'd be good with that. Genesis 48. Israel said to Joseph, Israel is who, everybody? Yeah. Right, but what's his other name? Jacob, same guy, right? Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children as well. So here, my beloved, has the dream come to pass at this point? The dreams that Joseph had, yes or no, come to pass? Yes, absolutely, right? The brothers have come and bowed down. Jacob and his wife have come and bowed down. So the dream has come to pass now in Joseph's life. Amen. Joseph, the Lord is, I'd never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your children as well. Then Joseph took them from his knees, and bowed with his face to the ground. So this is Joseph bowing down to his dad. Amen. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left, and with his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them close to him. All right, so I was debating whether to do this, but I'm going to do it just to give you all visual. Kevin, come on over here. Bring your chair. Sit right here. Let's go. We got to church by two. Sit right here and face everybody. Come on. Let's go. I know you can move faster than that. And all right, Josh, come on up. Josh Amate, come on up. And I want you guys to go in front of Kevin, facing me. So, church, here's the visual, just so y'all catch what's going on here. Guys, get on, like, kneel down right in front of him. Here we go. We're working. This is your wedding rehearsal right here. Amen. Here we go. So, you're not going to see this. So, listen, everybody. This is Ephraim here. This is Manasseh. Joseph wants Jacob's right hand on Manasseh because Manasseh is the firstborn, and his left hand on Ephraim. Right? If you study this all in scripture, right hand is always the hand of blessing in the Bible. Right? Y'all understand that? And so Manasseh is the firstborn. He gets a double portion, all these things. So just let me read here. Hang on. But, verse 14, but Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim. So cross over here. Right? Get closer. Do you smell all right? I don't know. Y'all smell good? Amen. Right? And then put your left hand over here. Cross it over. Here's what Jacob did right here, church. All right? You guys can go sit down now. Thank you. Visuals help. Israel, go back. That's enough camera time for you, bro. Get out of here. Your 15 seconds of fame is over. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. Manasseh means what, church? Forget or forgive, right? Ephraim means what? Fruitful. Hang in there with me. We're going somewhere. Jacob blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, and the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Who's the angel? It could be Jesus, could be the Holy Spirit. Either way, amen. Yeah, isn't that funny? And this is what he says. Bless the lads. Here's the blessing. Bless the lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. Now, if y'all remember, Jacob's brother is who? Thank you. Come on, church. Esau. Who? They're twins, right? Yeah. Who's older, though? Esau. Esau's the older one. But before they were born, the Lord says the older is going to serve the younger, right? But then Rebecca got in there, got it all jacked up, and everything else, right? So isn't it funny? Here's Jacob now, next generation. He's doing it again. Except there's no lying and deception this time. You see this, church? I think what's going on there is the Lord saying, I don't do things the way you do. Yeah? he grasped, look at this verse 17. He grasped his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the first one. Do you see the visual? He's going, no, dad, bless this one. This is what's more important over here, right? Verse 19, but his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. By the way, church, Jacob is blind right here. If you back up just before we started, Jacob's blind, right? So that's important. Yeah. His father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also, Manasseh also, right? So again, because Manasseh's here on his left hand, right? Manasseh also will become a people, and he will also be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater. Everybody say greater than he. What does Manasseh mean? Forget or what? Forgive. What does Ephraim mean? Fruitfulness. Come on, church, hang in there. We're almost done. And his descendants, Ephraim's descendants, shall become a multitude of nations. He blessed them that day, Jacob blessed them that day, saying, by you, Ephraim and Manasseh now, by you, Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim, everybody say it together, church, before Manasseh. Now, if you back up and read this prior to this happening, Manasseh is always mentioned first. After this time in the Bible, I only found two other spots. These two names are mentioned like two dozen times easy. Only twice is Manasseh's name put first after this. Ephraim's name is put first every time except those two times. Why? Everybody's like, why is this important, Pastor? What are you getting at? The Lord said this to me this week, because I've been on this Ephraim and Manasseh all week long, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you want me to preach on about this. The Lord said to me, you need to forget in order to become fruitful. But then you need to remain fruitful in order to forget. And I started thinking about it, my own walk, you know, brand new Christian. I was watching a UConn basketball game with Missy. We weren't married yet, at my dad's house. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I started thinking, I was like, I don't know, 4 months away from getting married or something. Couldn't marry that girl fast enough. All of a sudden, I started having these weird thoughts in my head just popping in, out of nowhere, saying, oh, don't, you can't marry that girl. This not going to work out. All these weird, really crazy, like hitting me hard, right? And I was like, this girl, oh my gosh. And so all of a sudden, this little whisper I hear in my spirit says, go tell your dad you forgive him. My dad was sitting around the corner on his computer. And so I sat there for a minute, and in my head I said, for what? And the little voice said, for everything. Now, I was a Christian maybe a year at this point, right? So I was like, weird. I'm like, I'm hearing voices in my head. Like, one voice is definitely no good, but this other voice is this gentle whisper, right? And I was like, huh. So I get up, I go in the corner, I say, hey, Dad, can I talk to you for a minute? He goes, yeah, what's up? I said, I just want to tell you I forgive you. And he stops and looks at me. He goes, for what? And I was like, for everything. And he looks at me, and all of a sudden, a tear trickles down his face. And he stands up, and he walks over, gives me a hug, and we both start crying. And we sat there for like 5-6 minutes just holding each other. And he's weeping, and I'm weeping. And then several years later, the Lord showed me some things. My mom's here. My mom's been awesome my whole life. But the Lord showed me some things that just happened as like life happens. Amen. And the Lord showed me that I needed to forgive her for some things. Amen. And so here's the deal, church. Bitterness will prevent us from being fruitful. Is that true? But you know, one of the biggest tactics of the devil is to try to get bitterness back in us once we've gotten out of it. Yeah? And the Lord's saying, do you see what God is using Jacob to do here? Because as far as Joseph is concerned, forgiving is what matters. If I forgive people, I can be fruitful. And God's like, okay, yeah, yes, yes, but the most important thing is to focus on being fruitful. Yeah? Think about this. Again, I asked the same question. I already asked it. How many people have ever had to forgive somebody for anything? Hopefully not today. Hopefully today's been a good day for you. And you never forgive nobody for nothing today, right? And we struggle with it, and we fight with it, and we, right? Well, yeah, and we start thinking things like this. Well, gosh, they owe me an apology. Yeah, come on, church. I'm getting real now, ain't it? They owe me an apology. I am never going to accept their forgiveness. I'm never going to forgive them unless they apologize to me. Well, all right. As my pastor would say, well, good luck with that porcupine breath. You guys remember Pastor Al saying that? Porcupine. What does porcupine breath smell like? I don't even know. It's like spiky. I don't even. What did you eat to get porcupine breath? Yeah? But if we think about this, the reason that we struggle to forgive people is because we have lost the truth of how offensive we are to God. Yeah, Pastor, are you saying that you, like me, you feel like you're offensive to God? I'm like, yes, I absolutely feel like I'm offensive to God. I have done some horrible things in my life that are completely apprehensible before the Lord. And you know what? God chose to forgive me. He offered forgiveness prior to me ever telling him I was sorry. Think about this. Some people get mad about this kind of a statement. But do you realize that people that decide to reject Jesus and die go to hell forgiven? You're like, what? If you reject Jesus, according to the Bible, you're going to go to hell when you die. Is that true? But he says, do you realize people go to hell forgiven? The offer of forgiveness has already been made. Whether they choose to accept that offer and change their life, that's on them. Right? See what I'm saying? So think about how great, when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, my beloved, he says he died for the sins of mankind once and for all. He will get up there again. He's not going to be like, oh, well, goodness gracious, there's one more. I forgot about that one. Let's get back up on the cross again. No. Forgiveness is a prayer away from every single human on the planet. Human traffickers. I'm talking the most wicked, vile, horrible human beings on the planet. Forgiveness is a prayer away from that person. That's it. Yeah? So what we think, I'm just going on a little tangent here, almost done. What we think is, oh no, what a horrible human being, and look what a journey they're going to have to get right with God. What? Come on, we think, church, come on, let's be real. Do we think that? Right? You ever talk to somebody and they just, hey man, can I talk to you about Jesus? Ah, they just blow up at you. You're like, wow, you're far away from God, obviously. And the Bible says that God is not far away from any one of us. Thief on the cross. Lord, remember me today. Remember me. Remember me. Today be with me in paradise. What? Wait a second. Where'd you go to church? What? I didn't go to church. Where'd you get baptized? I didn't get baptized. On and on and on. Can I get amen, church? Right? Look at this. Everybody okay with this? If we try to forget what's happened to us first, I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of this. I'm trying to give you, it's more like advice. Amen. If you're dealing with some issues of you need to forgive somebody, please just do it. Don't get all, pastor said, I got to be fruitful for, no. I'm trying to say to you, as you grow, right, when we get born again, God is going to have you forgive people. Is that true? Anybody walk with the Lord at all and the Lord did not have you forgive anybody? I didn't think so. Amen. Guess what? You're going to have to forgive other people as you continue your walk because people are going to treat you wrong. Yeah? And if we become more, here's my point. If we become more like Jesus, that's the process of sanctification. That's how we become fruitful. The more fruitful we are, the quicker we are to forget what somebody did wrong to us. Yeah? 20 years after I prayed and gave my dad to the Lord, he called me, dying of cancer, said I had a dream. The Lord visited me in a dream. I know Jesus is the King, and he's weeping on the phone. He says, please forgive me. I said, Dad, I forgave you 20 years ago. 20 years ago. There's nothing to forgive. I walk in forgiveness. Can I get an amen, church? We should be walking in forgiveness. We should be waiting for one word. As soon as somebody says, comes up to us, goes, I'm so sorry. Hey, it's all good, man. Let's reconcile. Let's build it. Let's rebuild. Right? Now, maybe needs to be some wisdom there. Can I get an amen? You know, because people can be manipulative. But you see what I'm saying, church? I'm talking about our heart condition, not that person. Yeah? Is this okay? So let's turn into Genesis 45. And we're done right here. Let's stand up. I want to show you this. Look it. So we're backing up a couple chapters from 48. Look at what done right here. Joseph This is Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you human trafficking. Oh, pastor, look at all the human trafficking. Church, this story is like 8,000 years old. There are trafficking humans back then. Come on, stop thinking everything's worse now than it's ever been. That's all that's going to do is discourage you and get you thinking that God is taking a nap. Yeah? I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, look at Joseph. Look at what Joseph says to these brothers. Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. What? Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Because you sold me, right? For God sent me. What? Did his brothers sell him? Yes. You know what Joseph realizes? God sent me. You didn't sell me. Well, I know what real forgiveness looks like. Forgiveness is not so I feel better. Forgiveness is release yourself from the burden. I know you wronged me. I know you didn't wrong me, right? But you know what I'm saying, church? We think forgiveness is about us feeling better. Forgiveness, the forgiveness of God, God doesn't need to feel better. He didn't forgive us so he could feel better about himself. He forgave us so that we could feel better about ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Is this making sense? So I want to do this. Just take a few moments here. If anybody, we can close our eyes or what, I don't care. We're all family here. We're not going to embarrass you, but anybody here, if you've got something, and I don't care who it's with, you don't got to tell anybody, it's between you and the Lord. But if you're here this morning and you are thinking, anybody even online with us, online, at home, wherever you are, I want you to really examine your heart. I've had people, church, that have been in the ministry here, part of our church family for years, and some of those people, things did not go well. And I tell you what, somebody we used to pray, oh, I really hope Frank comes back. We had no Franks here. I really hope Frank comes back. And somebody would pray. We'd be at a prayer meeting. Oh, Lord, send Frank back here in the name of Jesus. And they're going, and I'm over there going like, Lord, please don't send Frank back here. Because I don't really want to see Frank. You want to know what? Because I was hurt. Frank hurt me, and I don't really want Frank coming on back in here. I know that's wrong. I knew it was wrong when I'm thinking it, right? But it was like the Lord started speaking to me. He says, how about you be grateful for Frank? How about you be grateful that Frank was here for however long he was here for, and Frank helped you do this and helped the church here and helped the church there? And I was like, yeah, but he hurt me. He says, so what? He also helped you. I thought, oh, okay. Well, I need a little help with that Holy Ghost. But you know what? I started thinking, you know what? I like that. I like that better. Rather than being angry and hurt and all that stuff, I want to say, you know what? God, thank you for Frank. Thank you that he was here. Thank you for everything that he did. And I started saying that all the time. Every time I started thinking about, oh, Frank, I said, well, Lord, thank you for Frank. Because Frank, maybe Frank sold me, or maybe God sent him here to help me move forward. Yeah? Come on, church. Either God meant it for good, or he did not. Yeah? So anybody here this morning, I don't care who you've got. I don't care if it's your spouse, your kids. You know, I don't care who it is. If you got somebody that you're saying, man, there's pastor, there's bitterness getting in there. I want to forget it. I want to forget it. I know it's wrong. I don't want this to poison my soul anymore. I'm so tired of being angry about this person and what they've done or what they're doing to me right now. I'm so tired of going to pray and I'm just angry and coming to church and I'm angry and I want to worship, but I'm angry and I'm hurt. I just want you to raise your hand right now. This is the judgment-free zone. It's when you and Jesus right here. If it's a spouse who hurt you, it could be someone in your past, someone you haven't seen in 20 years. Amen. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch you right now and help you forget. Amen. See 4 or 5 hands up. Yeah, come on. It's all right. You know, it's so funny. We think we're hiding stuff from God. God's like, I see that. Just raise your hand. Yeah? All right, if somebody near you, now look around. If somebody near you's got their hand up, just lay hands on them right now, just for a moment. Amen. Amen. We got a couple of hands in the back over here. We got 2, 3 right up here. Come on up. Get out of your seat. Come on up here. And we're just going to pray for you just for a moment. Amen. Because, the days of the enemy wreaking havoc in your life with bitterness is over. It's over right now. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we start seeing bitterness as a weapon of the devil. And the Bible says that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Come on. Come on. Just like anxiety, the Bible clearly tells us that anxiety is a weapon that the devil uses. And bitterness is going to start contributing to anxiety. It starts contributing to all kinds of evil things, wickedness, all kinds of things. And we start thinking all kinds of evil things about people because our minds start racing. And so, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, every person that was brave enough to raise their hands up and say, that's me, Pastor, that's me right here. I want to forget. I want to have a Manasseh moment right now. I want to have a Manasseh moment right now. I am letting go of this bitterness. I am letting go of all the trouble of my father's house. I am letting it go. Because God, you're bigger. You're bigger, God, than whatever that person did to me. You're bigger than whatever they said to me. You're bigger than however they hurt me. You're bigger than however they betrayed me. You are bigger, God. And Lord, you saw it all, and you said in your word, God, that you would work it out for good, Father. Every evil thing that was intended against me, Father, Lord, we look to you this morning and say that you intended it for good, Father, that you are going to supernaturally work that thing out to bring me where I'm supposed to go. And Lord, I decree right now, it's not going to take years and years and years, Father. You are a God. You live outside time. So Lord, we're asking for, I'm talking a supernatural, instantaneous, right now moment, God. That Lord, that right this second, we walk out of here and say, man, it's gone. It's gone. This thing's been poisoning me for 20 years. It's gone. And that, Lord, right now, where that space is left in these people's souls, God, we thank you for flooding them with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. An Ephraim moment right now, God. An Ephraim moment, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, that I will be fruitful in my land of affliction. Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil because the Lord is with me. His rod and staff comfort me. Behold, he makes a table in the presence of my enemies, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Come on. Prophets, many prophets say that you will be planted by streams of living water and that your leaves will go out and they'll remain green and you will continually bear fruit. Father, we're not like trees out there that got one season. They got oranges, and then they got to wait a whole nother winter for more oranges. In the Holy Ghost, Father, we should be bearing fruit all the time, 24/7, in Jesus' name, Lord. That we are no longer going to be shook by whatever the devil's got to throw at us. God, I just even decree right now, every one of these people that raise their hand, they're going to start laughing at the devil. Somebody insults me, we're just going to laugh about it. That's all right, man. That's displaying your character, not mine. Yeah? So, Lord, I thank you right now. I bless these people. Everybody online with us right now, in the name of Jesus, receive that. Father, I thank you for a new season for all these people right here. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 Let's clap our hands. Amen for the Lord. Blessings on you guys, YouTube, Facebook, blessings. Guys, we'll be back here on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, for prayer. Everybody's welcome. We'd love to see you all. Amen. Have a good week.